Today on Real Radio.
The reason why you and I endure so much is because we're following Christ, who is the truth. And we've known Jesus in this life, and it's undeniable. We cannot refuse him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from a section in chapter 6 where Paul describes the hardships that the true believer will most likely face because he stands up for the truth of the gospel. But there are reasons for these difficulties, as we've been learning in this series of lessons called Let Me Encourage You. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The church and the world, do they know that you're a believer? If they do, then you are probably being spoken well of and spoken bad of at the same time. That's a good thing, everybody. I want to encourage you. Cheer up. It's a good thing when there's contradictions. It's a sad day if the world says the same thing about you that the church does. Right? You want your witness to be contradicted by the church and the world regarding their view of you. It's a good thing. So we need to get some tough skin, right? Listen, I'll let you in too much on my life. You should know this. And maybe I'll regret saying this. But I told you, you guys know before, my mom was born and raised in Hawaii. I have family in Hawaii. And because of that, when my mom moved over to the mainland, she never lost her Hawaiian ways. She's pure Portuguese, but she was raised in the Hawaiian culture. She never wore shoes. She never wore shoes. She wouldn't wear shoes. And so because of that, my mom could walk across the hot coals, not literally, but a summer day, the street, nothing fazed her. She could walk over anything, nothing fazed her. She could walk across the field. Her feet were like rocks. Well, guess who else, whose else feet is like rocks? I grew up not wearing shoes. That's just the way we loved it in San Diego like that, and then moving up to Orange County. But what's the downside? Calloused feet. You can't feel anything. And that's okay as long as the calluses are on your feet. But if it's in your heart, that's a bad thing. If it's in your heart, that's not a good thing. And so what we want to be very, very careful about is keeping our, listen, as Christians, you want your skin to be somewhat calloused toward this world, but your heart to be as soft and tender. Jesus said, really, let us be like doves in our hearts, toward this world and toward the cunning craftiness of this world. He said, be like a serpent, cunning. And we need to be careful about that we nurture. When people say, oh man, you Christian, blah, 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 let it be tough skin that resists that, okay? Don't cry about it. Don't throw in the towel and quit. They made fun of me. Rejoice. Why did they make fun of you? Now, wait, why did they make fun of you? There better be a good reason, okay? It better be a biblical reason. If they're making fun of you or attacking you for biblical reasons, rejoice. If they're attacking you because you're a nutcase, then stop it. Of evil and of good report. Look, he says, as deceivers and yet true. The word deceivers means that the world views us as imposters, frauds, and fakes. They do. The world hates us for that. But yet true meaning proven to be real and having a real life. Proven real. That's why our internet TV program is called Real Life. Why? Because the Christian life engaged in the culture is going to be proven. You want to sign up? Then the world will put you through the ringer. That's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. That's a good thing, church. The next thing is this, verses 4-8. Christianity is not an easy road because, listen, we will endure. The Christian will endure what others will not. Why is that case? When he says in much patience, that word meaning enduring, remember this, we will endure what others will not. This is probably the most extensive part of our study today. I'm going to ask you to take notes and write real small. Are you all listening? Okay, here we go. Paul was being bird-dogged, pursued, attacked by the legalist coming out of Judaism trying to discredit the gospel. You with me? So they undermined everything he preached. They criticized and attacked. They were false teachers. Paul mentions that numerous times in the book of Galatians and even in the book of Romans. False teachers. They attacked the cross of Christ. They attacked the nature or the person of Christ and the grace of God. They exalted the law and man's ability to achieve righteousness before God by self-works. That is condemned by God. False teachers. In Paul's day, false teachers like today will not. Church, mark this down. This is worth a lot. False teachers will never endure the list that we just read these last 2 weeks. They won't do it. You want to know why? They will not put up with what you and I put up with, because there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit even to the life of the false teacher and the false prophet that what they believe is wrong. The Holy Spirit is constantly telling your friends and my friends who are involved in cults, and I throw atheism in that cult, you're wrong. Holy Spirit saying, you're wrong. You need Jesus. You need to repent. You need my love. You need my forgiveness. You need my hope. Constantly, he's convicting those that are in error. And the false teacher continues on in their path, not only being deceived, but deceiving others with a tenacity, I might add. But when difficulties and hardships hit them like they hit us, you know what they do? They pack up and they move on to the next gig. They move on to the next show. They don't put up with it. The reason why you and I put up with being attacked, or why Paul put up with his adversities, is because we know the truth. False teachers have this among them. It's a threefold attack against the church. You'll be wise to mark this down. What are the threefold attacks of the enemy against the church, false teachers and false prophets? Number one, infiltration among the rank and file believers. Infiltration. Wherever God is working, and oh, please God, be working here. Listen. Wherever God is working, there'll be an attack by Satan with false prophets and false teachers to come in and among the ranks and the file of the believers. So I say, oh dear God, may we be true as a church, may we be holy as a church. And Jesus is saying, right on, just count the cost. In and among you will be false believers and false prophets. That's why with people that you come in contact with in any spiritual setting, you should always have either literally or figuratively the Bible open at all times. When they say, hey, you know what this? Just because they're talking to you inside this building doesn't mean that they're right, or it doesn't mean that they're true. Listen, we know for a fact that there are cults that come on this campus trying to pick off believers as you're making your way to the car or coming into church. We know it. Why are they doing this? Because it is Satan's tactic to infiltrate the rank and file believers. Number two, mark it down, to discredit the doctrines within the church. Oh, the Bible doesn't really mean that. Or let us tell you what the Bible really means. To discredit what the Word of God says. That's the second thing. The third thing is this, to seize the leadership roles of churches. There's a book written years ago, I forget who the author is, but the title I've never forgotten. It's called Predators in the Pulpit. You ought to buy it. If Satan is going to succeed in infiltrating the church, where is he going to wind up being most happy? In the place of authority or power in the church leadership and ultimately the pulpit, because the falsehood will go out. Isn't that fantastic? So we ought to be on guard. And listen, the more you go verse by verse through the Bible, the more this stuff's flushed out. That's a good thing, huh? Listen, for the Christian, life's tribulations have a perfect, I love saying this, and wonderful purpose. Can I say that again? For the Christian, life's tribulations have a perfect and wonderful purpose. God has a great plan. Are you going through something, friend? Are you going through something? God's got a wonderful purpose. Are you not a Christian today? I'll talk to you more about that in a second. Listen, Christian, mark this. Why do we go through such difficult times? If our God is God and he saved us and Jesus loves us, what's the deal? Why doesn't he just throw rose petals along the path that we walk? Well, because listen, our faith is very important to God. It's to develop a greater faith. Why? Because he wants to deploy that faith in the lost world to rescue more souls. Did you know that you're saved? Listen, God loves you. You're saved. You're going to heaven. So why are you here? Because God wants to develop your faith to send you out into hostile territories that one more soul might be saved through your life. That's how much a soul is important to God, that he would keep you here for the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years if need be, to get you to witness to one more person that they might come to the saving knowledge of Christ. That's how valuable a soul is to God. 1 Peter 1:6. Am I yelling? I'm sorry. I'm so excited about this. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, knowing now for a while or a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Aren't we? Haven't we? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Some of you are going through the fire. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be financial. Could be relational. Could be emotional, spiritual. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason why you and I endure so much is because we're following Christ, who is the truth. And we've known Jesus in this life. And it's undeniable. We cannot refuse him. We may disagree with the difficulty in our emotions, but we cannot refuse him. We will endure rejection because, listen, we know the truth. We've experienced his company in our lives. We've been persuaded by the power of the word of God. And listen to this. I love this. We've been spoken for. There's a sense of ownership in the life of every Christian. You know that God owns you. Amen. You say, I don't know that. I don't know that. Then take your life and go try to do something on your own and see what happens. If you're not a Christian, you'll get away with it. If you're a Christian, you can head 3 feet down the path, or you don't even have to get up. God will get you in your mind. I'm such a mess, goofball, that God usually arrests me, if not always, in my mind. I'm sitting there, and I'm supposed to be doing something for God, and I start wondering, And, oh, don't worry. I'm not thinking, like, very nasty thoughts. I'm thinking things like, I think I'm going to go... Yeah. I think I'm going to go plant some bulbs and do some weeding over there in the part of the garden. And I think I'm going to plant a fruit tree. That's my big temptation. Some people struggle with stuff. That's my thing. And God says, no, I want you to stay focused on this thing right now. You stay focused on this thing. Oh, but God, truly, you made grass and trees. And you know what I'm talking about? We all have our thing. We're to be focused. But we've been spoken for, and I'll embark in my mind on something, and God will say, Jack, get back to it. Let's stay focused. Why does he talk like that to us? Because he loves us, and we've been spoken for. Amen. You're not your own. I love it. In John chapter 6, isn't this interesting? I just noticed this. John 6, 6, 6. John chapter 6, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They gave up on Jesus. Interesting. 6, 6. Anyway, I'm not into numbers, but I thought that was kind of cool. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But look, Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And I want you to mark this down, my friend. I want everybody to listen. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Have you come to that moment in your life, Christian? Have you come to that moment in your life, professor in faith in Jesus Christ? Can you say that you've come to that moment where it has become the all-important revelation for you? When you've come to the end of yourself and you come to the end of your effort and you come to the end of all your troubles and you say, because when you're tempted to go jump ship and then that revelation comes to you. To whom shall we go? Yeah. Have you come there? I hope you have come there. If you haven't, I pray, dear Lord, bring us to that point where you come to that end and you say, to whom shall we go? There's no other place to go. And I'm going to give you a barrage now of these exhortations of let me encourage you. Our sufferings, friend, church, matters. And it means everything to us because why? Listen, he's going to build faith and confidence in us. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, you and I have to be too, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of these hardships, all of these attacks, all of these misunderstandings, in all of them, there's a powerful, all-necessary purpose in these difficulties. Please be encouraged. They expose the truth and the reality of who we are. Christians must go through these difficulties that Paul's speaking of. The next thing is this. Mark it down if you would. Let me encourage you. Our sufferings matter. It means everything to us because James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete or perfected and complete, lacking nothing." That is, Christian, are you going through a difficult time? Yes. Don't jump. Just say, "God, give me the strength to endure this now." Listen, please listen. We have somehow got it into our heads that when rough times come, as Christians, we jump out of the frying pan that God has placed us in and jump right into the flames. Instead of talking to God, we start Twittering or Facebooking people, or we start gossiping about it. Stop. Get away. Get alone. Let him cook you. But it feels like he's frying. In the midst of your suffering, invite him to put salt and pepper on the offering as well. Don't leave the spot. But it's crushing. Stay there. You're a Christian. You're right in the middle of the palm of his hand in that moment. But it hurts so bad. That's why it's called a trial. I don't see any way out. That's why it says trust him. I don't feel that any good come out of this. That's why it's on faith and not feeling. Wait. Let me encourage you, our suffering matters, and it means everything to us because Job 23:10 says, "But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Notice, it's as gold, not gold, as gold. What comes forth as gold? Your faith. Your faith is the most precious. Listen, what do you own? Somebody might say in here, "I don't own anything." Wrong. Do you have faith in Christ? Let me tell you right now, I'm not being cute right now. You listen to me? That is the greatest commodity, that is the greatest thing you own. Listen, you lose your faith and you'll be dead in 30 seconds. You put a gun to your head when you lose hope, when you lose faith. Are you here today and you're rich? You're not rich unless you have faith in Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing you own. You lose that and it's hopeless. Gold. I want to encourage you. Let me encourage you because our suffering really matters. It means everything to us because 2 Timothy, I love this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For I am," Paul says, "already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Listen how Paul talks about his death. He's been told he's going to die. He's been told they're going to cut your head off. He's in Rome. They're going to behead him. You've been to Rome? That's where they beheaded Paul. He says, "It's time for me to leave. The time of my departure is at hand." He acts like he's getting on a train. "Hey, my flight's here. Gotta go." Isn't that awesome? "I have fought the good fight." Oh, may we all say this. "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day of judgment. And not to me only, but to all those," listen, "who have loved his appearing." You will, listen, I'm going to say some controversial stuff. That's all true. You just may not like it. I hope you do. You will always be able to tell who the Christian is by their commitment to maintain their waiting regarding the coming of the Lord. Paul was faithful. He says, "I've always loved his imminent," the word means imminent appearing, anytime appearing of Jesus. Are you, listen, are you loving the imminent possibility of Christ's return for you? Paul says, I have loved it, but I just got the word that I'm going to lose my head for being a believer. And I challenge you, go find out why Rome put Paul to death. What crime did he commit? That's a good homework project. What crime did Paul commit to cause this emperor of the world to order him to be put to death? That's your homework. And he says, listen, I have loved his appearing. And that crown of righteousness, oh, by the way, he's going to give to all those who have loved it also, or who love his appearing. Watch this. The Christian will be mindful of their mortality in the face of immortality. That's what Paul is saying. When he says, for I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand, he's a man who lived mortal yet immortal. With me? You got that? Yes. Number two, the Christian will be recognized by their engagement in the battles of life. He says in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Listen, Christian, you and I must be fighting the fight, we must be finishing the race, we must keep the faith. What does that presuppose? In the midst of a battle. Number three, the Christian lived and displayed a life that honored God. That's what Paul is all about. He says, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I'm going to give you a list. Get ready to mark them down. Crowns. There's crowns in heaven to be received. And if I understand the Bible right, every one of these crowns will be given to the Christian. You ready? Number one, an incorruptible crown will be given. 1 Corinthians 9:25. It's not going to be on the screens. Write it down. 1 Corinthians 9:25. There's an incorruptible crown given to the Christian. Number two is 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The crown of rejoicing. That's an awesome word because it means the crown of rejoicing, having contended with a bitter world. The Christian stayed rejoicing. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:19. James 1:12 is the next one, the crown of life. That presupposes that you and I are living in the face of contending against a dying world, a world that is in decay, a world that is dying. The crown of life. Fourth, the crown of glory. So that's the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of life. The crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:1-4, the crown of glory in the face of having contended with an ever-darkening world. Do we not live there right now, my friends? And here is 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness, having contended with an unrighteous world. God will give us the crown of righteousness. Listen, let me encourage you. Our suffering matters, church, and it means everything to us. In Romans 8:18, the Bible says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present world, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We are going to stand someday before God, and all the pain, injury, hurt, and brutality that we've endured in this life for being a Christian, God is going to say, wow, man, Jack, I hope he says this, dude, you're pretty beat up, man.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Let Me Encourage You. A look at a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's one of the writings of the Apostle Paul that explain some of the hardships that the true believer in Jesus will undoubtedly face. However, there are also encouragements throughout that very same text. Again, Let Me Encourage You is the title, and it's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we are approaching the end of 2015 and ringing in the new year, if you will, and we always seem to talk about New Year's resolutions, right? Well, I can't think of too many New Year's resolutions better than the one we've been telling you about here on Real Radio. It's the one-year Bible. We at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible at the outset of every year, and you know what? We'd love to invite you, Real Radio listeners, to join us. It really is a great way to internalize and assimilate God's holy word. You can purchase your very own one-year Bible at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.